Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome. It is great to start the week off right. Good morning all to all the marvelous Monday morning people. Well, we have had a grand weekend. I mean, it's been grand, grandiose, exciting. We traveled all the way to Cincinnati, Ohio from New Jersey by car, so you know it's about a 10-hour drive. Out through Pennsylvania, and then just a short little run through West Virginia, then into Ohio. So it's only like three states away, but Pennsylvania is a long state to get through. But there's so much beauty to see, get to see all of God's glory in the trees and all the way the sunlight hits the trees, the way some of the clouds cover part of the land, and then the sun shines on the other side. So it was just absolutely, absolutely beautiful, the mountains. I definitely want to give a special shout out to my partner and person riding with me. We are also business partners as well, because we're all in the energy business. So for those of you listening, if you'd like to save money on your electric bill, we know everybody wants to save money these days. So if you'd like to save money on your electric bill, please do give me a call, 908-432-1853, or you can hit me up on Facebook. You can inbox me. That's one of the ways that we help people. But my topic today, I wanted to talk about being resilient. You know, resiliency is something that a lot of people have, and they don't even really know they have it. And so if you don't really know you have something, how can you really properly use it? You could use it from time to time, but not really using it properly. So today we wanted to talk about being resilient. What does it mean? How do we be resilient? Now, I want to talk about being resilient in the sense that, you know, the program that we run out of the PSUI Training Institute, and thank you to each and every one of you who have already come over. You've signed up for training that we're doing there. But this training centers around being resilient. We're helping people who are coming out of incarceration, and sometimes we're helping people who may have had former drug problems, other, but again, you know, just basically antisocial problems. And so we want to help people because some people never really got to learn the more excellent way into behaving socially. And it comes from a number of different reasons. We're not claiming to be psychologists, but even an amateur psychologist, a person that has not even been to school or gotten any type of credentials in psychology, could tell a person that, you know, there are some behaviors that just should not be, and there are some things that we just want to do in life. And so for me, I'm coming from a perspective of psychology for as one discipline, also coming from a discipline of, you know, just basically a political science, but also from a discipline of a business, and then also from a discipline of being a Christian. So we got to put all of that together to help people sustain themselves and to really, but before I can get people to sustain themselves, we must teach people how resilient they are. How, and what is resiliency? Well, resiliency is having the ability to pick yourself up and go back out there and start all over. And that's what some people don't have. Some people, once they get knocked down, that's pretty much it. They stay down and they pretty much whine and moan and complain of why they got knocked down, you know, how bad it feels, how horrible it is that they're knocked down. That's what happens to a lot of people. They get caught up in the knockdown. You know, they can't get over it. I don't know how this happened to me. Why did this happen to me? And they just stay down, whether it be drugs, whether it be divorce, whether it be other family problems. It could be the loss of a child or a loved one. It could be the loss of a job. It could be the loss of a career. There have been individuals where they were in a particular industry and their whole industry got wiped out, and that caused them to fall down. We have children who have been abused by their parents or their grandparents or whomever their caregivers are, their guardians, and these people who have abused them. This causes them to, this is a sort of a knockdown. And these individuals, they don't know how to get back up and get back going, and then to really begin to thrive, as we talked about all last month, in our thriving beyond child abuse, or thriving beyond sexual abuse and sexual molestation and sexual assault. That's what we talked about last month. But individuals who don't have their, I would say, their resiliency engine turned on, these individuals are the ones who, when they are knocked down by anything, you know, your home could have been hit by a flood, a tornado, a fire. You know, your favorite aunt or grandmother or parent could have passed away and you now feel depressed. Well, let me just say a little bit about depression. If a person gets depressed, as probably most people do, from time to time, it's a little depression. You're depressed for a whole day, for instance. You don't feel like getting out of bed. You don't feel like doing much that day. It's probably not the worst thing in the world. It might be good because your body might really be telling you, I just need some rest. So that's okay. But if it goes on, if it persists, that's when you need to get it checked out. If it continues, if you begin to feel like this, say, for more than 3 days, now you want to alert someone who is of an authority and an expert on depression and look into some ways that you can come out of it. Now, we know for individuals who have a very, very high spiritual awareness, some people's spiritual awareness can go anywhere from zero, let's just say, to 100. We know we could go to infinity, but let's just stop at 100, and let's say 100 is the infinity. And zero is absolutely infinity, and the other direction is basically nothing. So individuals' spirituality can go either, and it can be anywhere in that spectrum. So for some people, they have a very high spirituality. These individuals are people that, You will not find them being depressed a lot. You won't find these individuals, you know, having a really low self-esteem. You won't find them being saddened a lot. People who have a really high spiritual connection with God, because they have within them this power now that operates outside of their self. When you have a very high spiritual awareness, you have a power working within you that's beyond your human natural control. And that's where you hear people talk about the supernatural. In other words, you feel things that other people can't feel. You see things that others cannot see. That's why he said, not only don't get weary in well-doing, but he says that you can call those things that be not as though they were. You have a very high spiritual connection, a high spiritual awareness. You can have things that you don't have, you know. You can believe for things that don't make sense. You have a supernatural faith. And therefore, you know, so it's a little bit different. But for individuals who don't have that and you experience some type of depression or what have you, then you may need to go check it out. But if a person who is a very spiritual, if they get depressed, now they're probably just going to go meditate. Maybe they'll read their Bible. They will sing hymns of praise. They'll begin to just start thanking God for all that he's done for them. And they will come out of that depression very quickly. Sometimes it just takes a minute. Some people who have a very high spiritual awareness, they have certain songs on reserve that if they fall into a depressive state, because there are things that can happen in the world to depress us. Sometimes I get depressed when I pull into the gas station and I see the high price of gas and how it's gone up. Especially down there in Ohio, gas was $3.89 a gallon, okay, for the regular. So, and here in New Jersey, you know, you can still get gas for like $3.59 or so. So there are things that can depress us on a daily basis. But what's your way to get out of it? And that also, you know, to get back to my subject today about being resilient. So when you have a very high spiritual awareness of yourself, it's easier to be more resilient. But when you don't have a spiritual awareness or a high spiritual awareness, things can happen in a person's life to where they don't feel they have a way out. They don't feel there's a way up. They don't feel that there's more. They don't feel they have the type of hope that will let them see how things can be turned around, or even let them know that they have to turn it around. But we talk about this in our training program. So for those of you who have brothers and sisters and husbands and boyfriends and cousins who you think that they may need this type of training, this is the type of training that they're going to get at PSUI Training Institute at 1139 East Jersey Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Okay? In our program that we have for men and women transitioning back into the workplace, back into places of success, places where they are trying to get to in their life so that they don't fall back into a situation that would land them in jail or prison, or they don't fall back into antisocial behaviors. You know, when you come out of jail, a lot of times when you're in jail, before you go to jail, you could be involved in antisocial behaviors. But you had a choice. You could have gone to your antisocial behaviors and friends and connections, or you could have been with the positive people that were around you, whether it was a family member or someone from the neighborhood or a surrounding neighborhood. You had a choice to do that. You could have gone to a house of worship in different places to stay positive, which many people do after they come out of jail. They typically go and connect with a church or a mosque or somewhere else so they can be connected to positive people. Maybe they join an NA group or an AA group or some other similar type of support group. However, once you go to jail, you really don't have a lot of choices for the social, for the positive social connections. There's a lot of anti-socialism going on inside the jail, all the way from the people who are there supposedly to watch over you to the actual inmates themselves and the others that are incarcerated. So when people come out of jail, they definitely need to come and connect with our program over at PSUI or some other program so that they can get desensitized. You know, while they were in there, they were sensitized to the institution. And back in the day, they would call that institutionalized. And they may not have been taught how to use their resiliency. They were resilient. That's how they survived the streets. But now they need to really learn the steps to being resilient. See, when you're resilient, you can overcome your problems of your past. You can overcome. When you're resilient, once we teach you what we're going to teach you over at PSUI Training Institute, once you go there, we're going to teach you how to be, how to overcome what you've been through. And you're going to learn the steps to be resilient. And these are steps that a lot of people don't know. And a lot of people, you know, and we have a way to teach that. Myself, Patricia, my partner over there at PSUI, and some other people that we have connected with. But in order to be able to really teach resiliency, you have to be a person who resilled against something yourself. It's like me trying to teach someone how to make macaroni and cheese. I can't teach that. I don't know how to make it myself. One thing I can teach you about macaroni and cheese is that it tastes good if it's made properly. I could teach you that. I could tell you that. I could tell you that it's delicious. I could tell you that it tastes good. And when people put those little crummy things on top, like they used to do back at Aiken High School when I was a student there, I could tell you that. But I can't tell you the ingredients and what to put in and how much to put of what. I can tell you about how high you should have the temperature of the oven. I would imagine somewhere around 350 to 375, only because I know that's about the common speed or the common temperature that you bake something at. You see, but you want to be able, so we're going to be, we're people who have already gone through training on how to be resilient. And we're going to teach people how to be resilient. Individuals that are reentering society, some people are reentering for the first time. So I know when I was first start working at Kentalk over in 2004, and I began to hear the term, well, they start talking about reentry, and they kept saying that, okay, Lalisa, your job as a case manager is to help these people with reentry, help them reenter into society. And so I would sit down with my caseload one after time, and I would talk to them. I dealt with the women. I had a caseload of women. And I would have individuals, and they would be in the program. And I said, it dawned on me after we were working in the program for about 6 months, and I had gone through, oh gosh, I guess about 60 women, because we would get up to 20 new women every couple of weeks. We'd get about 20 new women that would get distributed to all of our different caseloads. There were probably four case managers. So we would get the caseload, would get distributed to us. And I remember talking, and then even for the people who weren't on your caseload, you still had to deal with them. Because if you worked on a day that the other caseworker was out, was off, well, if the person needed something, they're going to come to you, whether they need sanitary needs, whether they need hygiene needs, or if they just wanted to make a phone call to a family member. So, or they just wanted to talk. Sometimes they just want to talk to someone other than the people that are in there with them. Because remember, now they're trying to go back home. And they have to now assimilate to an environment that they're not used to, because if they've been locked up for any length of time, over, it doesn't matter how long you're locked up. If you're locked up a week, for 1 week, you have to assimilate to that environment that you're in, even if you don't want to. It happens naturally. And so the women I would talk to, I would realize that, well, wait a minute. Some of them, listening to their backgrounds, assessing their paperwork, talking to them, asking them questions, I realized that you're not re-entering, you're entering, so to speak. You never got a chance to do. See, when I hear the word re-entry, I'm thinking of things like you were out in society, you know, you were in college or you had a job or you went to college or you were working, you had an apartment, you were living somewhere, and you got caught up somehow, got hooked up with somebody, with drugs or what have you, or any other, there's so many other things that can get you locked up. I don't want people to think that only drug addiction or abuse or the distribution of drugs will get you locked up. There's a whole lot of other stuff that will get you locked up. Don't get it twisted. But that's, you know, one of the more common ones we see of people who do come through the halfway houses, only because there's so many people who do get locked up for drugs. And so I noticed, though, in their backgrounds that these individuals, they were never really partaking in the kind of society that we were telling them to go back to. So that's what I mean. So we help people with reentry or entry, whichever, over there at PSUI. We're going to train, so we want you to send people. But that's not all that we do there. That's not all that we do. Yes, that is one of our expertise, I would say, and that being the fact that, again, we've had to be resilient and overcome things in our lives. And myself, having gone to jail, and I had to come out and I had to learn how to be resilient. I didn't know what being resilient was. I had no clue. But it was, in fact, what God had taught me how to do. So now I could teach others. So we could walk people through those steps so we could really help them. And we're going to do training that will help them stay out of jail. Because it's one thing to get up and get your life turned around, but how do you maintain that? How do you sustain that? And at first, you know, when I looked at my own background and I said, wow, you know, I probably should have started doing this years ago when I first, you know, got myself together. But, you know, God has said, no, you needed to have some history to show people that not only can you get out, but this is how to sustain it, because I left jail in 1985. And so with this being, you know, 2012, you're talking about a good enough long time that, you know, people, at least they're almost 30 years. And so people can see that, okay, it can last. So that's 30 years with no reoffense. That's 30 years with not being enticed to go back into that lifestyle. Because I had been in that lifestyle, you know, up until from like age, well, wow, from like early, from my 14 up until I came to New Jersey, which I came to New Jersey, I was around 30, 31. I had recently turned 30. I moved here, I was about to turn 31. I moved here in October. I moved here October 27th. My birthday was November the 8th. I was about to turn 31, so I actually came here. I was 30 to New Jersey, so I, you know, left jail and came here to New Jersey. At the time, I didn't know why, but now I understand. So here we are. So I was in that lifestyle for over, so after, you figure, at 14, I began to smoke marijuana, skip school, and actually did run away from home. So that my life began to go on that downward spiral at age 14. Prior to that, you know, I went to school. I pretty much did what my mother told me for the most part. But when we moved from Avondale to Finlater Gardens, that's when my situation went downhill. And, you know, I don't know what would have happened had we not moved to Finlater Gardens. I'm not sure if we had stayed in, we lived in a community called Avondale. I don't know if we had stayed in Avondale, would things have not gone down that road. I know that's also, when we moved to Finlater, that was also close to the time that my grandfather passed away, and he was like my hero. and my grandfather loved me to death, and everybody in my family knew it. I was like his favorite, you know, so to speak, because my name was similar to his wife's name, which was my grandmother's. Her name was Lily, and I was Lil Lisa. So I don't know if that was it. I was the closest to her in skin color, and we had a similar body. I don't know if that's what made me, you know, and maybe I wasn't the favorite. Maybe I just thought I was. I don't know. Maybe he treated everyone special. But I do know that I had a very special relationship with my grandfather, and I know that he was the one person that I could truly say I know about love from him, because I knew this man really loved me, and he was so nice to me, and he passed away. So I don't know if all that has something to do with it, you know, but I'm telling you, we have something to help people with. So but like I said, that's not the only training that we do there. We also help people in their professional careers. So for individuals who are looking to get a job, even if they have never been incarcerated, or if they're not looking to get back into society through the reentry program, that's one program that we have. But we also have the career advancement piece for those individuals who want to advance their careers, or they want to polish up their careers, they want to get those job promotions, and from that we will have the Release Your Power professional development system that we're offering to people. So we want people to come out. We're also doing a professional women's network. So professional women that own their own businesses or want to network with others, we're having a networking session. I believe it's, well, you can go to my Facebook page, or you can go to Pat Martin's Facebook page, and you can find out about that. Or you could go to our PSUI page on Facebook. Performance Strategies Unlimited has a page on Facebook. You could go there. It's facebook.com/PSUI Training Institute. So if you go there, you could find, we'll post it there, the different things that we're going to be having on May 8th. Oh, there it is. I see it now. On May 8th, that's tomorrow, Tuesday, we'll be hosting the first Networking, Empowerment, and Business Showcase. Registration fee is $10. You can call today, 908-469-6410, or just stop by. And when you come tomorrow for the networking, you're going to come and you're going to bring your business cards, you're going to bring any questions. And if you you can come and if you want to, you know, sell off the shelf of your business items, just let us know. But you can certainly come and bring samples. Eventually, we will start having vendors come and set tables up there to display and talk about their products. So that's May 8th. We'll be hosting our very first Networking, Empowerment, and Business Showcase. And I believe that I will post the time on Facebook. I don't exactly have the time that it's going to happen, but I will definitely post it. But it will happen on Tuesday, which is May 8th, so that's tomorrow. So tell some people that you know, come out and network with us. And don't forget, you can get copies of the Release Your Power Empowerment CD. We have that on sale for $10. You just get that and be empowered to do the things that God has created you to do. Be resilient. And resiliency is not just for individuals who are coming out of jail or incarceration. Everyone needs to be able to be resilient in times in your life. So you need to know how to put that in place, how to pick yourself up, how to get back going. And you need support for that. So we're there to support you. The other training that we do there, Pat does leadership training, discipleship training. You could connect with her on that and see when she's doing that training. Sign up for her classes on that. She can also teach you how to start your own daycare center at home. So There's lots that we do at PSUI Trading Institute. We have some other people that will be coming there to teach classes as well in their areas of expertise. So in their areas of expertise, and again, for those of you who want to save on your energy bill, we will also be meeting on that. But tomorrow, Tuesday, during the day, I know we will be doing training, so I'm assuming that the networking session is tomorrow. It's tomorrow. I believe it's in the evening, but I will double-check and get the time for you. But you can always call me at 908-469-6410. A special shout-out to those who tuned in to the show in the chat room on the phone lines, and we'll be back tomorrow, 7. Remember, Tuesdays at 7 a.m. with Professor Terry Benjamin, author of Sexy at 60. Everybody, have a great day. Don't let nothing stop
you. Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.